You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Carpe Omnia.
Happy birthday, Milo. No excuses to play like a champion.
How do I finish it?
98.7.
98.7 ESPN.
Real professional I am. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
Time after time.
So beautiful. I'm raising producers. How about our fearless leader, RJ Santillo?
I gotta get out of here. This spot's too hot.
Oh, way too hot. And then there's the very handsome, very polarizing Raymond Santiago.
And you're gonna sit there and call me lazy? You? Of all people?
Yeah, you, David. You're lazy. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Cold beer, big toe, yee-haw.
Oh, we miss Dan. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
Do you have an update with this woman situation?
We went to the game last night. She left like a half hour ago.
Oh! Very exciting stuff. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Rick, Dave, Ray, RJ, the best radio show ever. Refrigerator.
Now that's a poem. The Rangers took care of business last night against Columbus. Igor Shesterkin picked up his seventh straight win. We have more juicy McCole Hardman news that we should probably get to very early in the show because it's so juicy.
I actually wanted to be a paleontologist.
Thank you, Windrow. The NFLPA released their team report cards. We'll hear from Joe Shane and Joe Douglas. The Knicks are back in action tonight against Golden State. We have an OG injury update. Mel Kiper is back. He'll join us at 9:30. We have stuff you missed at 9:15 and everyone's favorite station ID at 8 a.m. And as always, on the Thursday at 7:45, we have no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let's try something a little bit different. Because let's face it, Dave, your poem yesterday, it sucked. Here we go. There once was a man named Ray. We just recently celebrated his birthday. When I was away, he was boss for the day.
You can call it lazy. You can call it whatever you want. The fact of the matter is I made a decision. You're going to have to live with it.
And ruin the open on Thursday. So now that I'm back.
Have you done crack?
No, you idiot. I said, hey, Scoozy.
With the floozy.
With the open, I'm Koozie, even though Dave called my wife a floozy.
So she's a floozy.
Yeah. And here he is, the very unapologetic David Rothenberg.
Well, that was nice. That was really well done. A couple things. Firstly, you went home yesterday, cash. No issues, right? Not upset.
No, she didn't hear it.
She didn't hear it.
She did not hear it.
So she
didn't really understand what floozy meant till I explained it. And then she was not happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Was not happy.
With you or me?
Both of us. Both
because
of us.
Because you led me there.
Yeah.
And then I went there.
Doesn't love that I say or tell people that story.
Right. Because it makes her sound like a floozy.
No, it doesn't make her sound like a floozy. It just said we were, it was a very nice moment we
passionate,
shared.
Passionate, heated moment.
She threw a tongue dart or two, and it was nice.
Well, I think that's very common.
Led to a beautiful marriage.
Beautiful marriage.
Well, you should have heard, Windrow yesterday. Forget kissing.
Yeah.
But he's saying it's a 50-50 proposition.
And there's no way kissing on a first date is a 50-50 proposition.
No, he wouldn't say kissing.
I know.
He went above and beyond.
I understand
kissing.
That, but I'm just saying, there's no way you go on a first date, the odds are 50-50 that you're going to kiss the person. There's no chance. Well, 50-50?
On a blind date, I would agree with you.
Right.
I think it's way less than 50%.
Right.
But this was just one of those moments.
One of those magical moments.
A moment like this.
A moment like this.
Some people wait a lifetime.
Yeah, some of them do.
That
Kelly.
One special kiss.
I got a nice email this morning. I'd like to read it
already.
To you. Yeah. Well, it's nice, and I think it would be a good jumping off point.
Did you
for the
find
show.
This in the time portal? Is this
no.
this like you woke up this morning and at 6 a.m. someone sent you a?
Well, no. I mean, if you need to know, it was sent at 12:23.
Wow.
But when I woke up at 4:00. I checked my email. I saw this. I was like, you know what? After he does his open, this would be a nice email because it's kind. It's good. It's nice. It's got all the particulars. Hi, my name is Abe. I'm 22 years old. I just love the show, and I listen to every second of every podcast since I'm not really around in the morning to listen live. But every now and then, I have to open my writer's soul to send you an email. In a world filled with people looking for something to be a part of, you guys are that for us fans who adore every one of you for being authentic and being true to who you are, no matter who it offends. You touch people's hearts almost as much as true love could. Thank you for creating such a beautiful family for all of us to be a part of. Love, Abe. Right?
Wow. That is a really nice one.
Yeah. So I thought that would be a nice way to, you know,
that's
jump off
nice.
The show.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah. I thought you'd feel that way.
Well, I think everyone will feel that way. I think everyone on the show feels that way.
I think so, too. Rangers last night.
Oh, yeah.
They were not great, but fine. Go out there, get
well,
the win.
The Columbus goalie was really good.
He was in that first, game. First period, he was
really good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was really good. I think the biggest takeaway from the Rangers...
Igor.
Is
just
Igor.
Yarkin?
Yeah, and I mean, how they bounced back this month. I mean, you heard Lavi talk about it after the game. No one in that locker room was happy with how January went.
Nor should they have been.
No, of course not. And Igor, top of that list... Right? Igor, top of the list. I mean, the fact that, Valley, who I told you is like, I mean, not only one of the greatest goalie partners of all time, roommates, but just goalie savant. Like, when he's calling for, hey, maybe he should take a step back and ride Jonathan Quick a little bit.
And they did.
And he loves Igor.
And it worked out. Well, I mean, listen, even great players have moments where they're in their own head or they're mired
always,
in a slump.
Always. It's just how quickly you can get yourself out of it.
I think we always knew it would go back to Igor. I don't know that we realized it would go back to Igor. You don't, come on.
No, I'm not saying you. Well, there were a lot of people, dude.
That's silly.
We're taking phone calls. Who are you going with in the playoffs? Well, who do you think you're going with in the
you're
playoffs?
You're going with Igor. The right. only chance you have to win a Stanley Cup is with Igor Shesterkin. You're not winning a Stanley
That's
Cup
right.
with Jonathan Quick.
That's
as good
right.
as he is as a backup, but he's terrific.
He's been great.
He's been great. Way better than I think anybody anticipated. But yeah, having Igor look like he's back, I mean, here we go.
Well, not so it's seven straight for him. And on top of that, last four, he's only given up a goal in each of those four games.
Right.
So that's top-notch goaltending you're getting.
Mike N. emails in, the world is a better place today. Welcome back to the Thursday opening kick-ass today, boys.
It does feel like it gets the show off on the right foot.
It gets the show off on a great foot. Raymond, do you recognize now the error in your ways that we need the Thursday open to buoy ourselves to a great show?
I recognize that we need the Thursday open, but...
He tried to sabotage me with the early floozy drop. You heard that.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Battled right through it.
But what, Ray? You still want to admit that you had a misstep last week?
No. I'm not sure what you want.
You think I'm stubborn?
No, I know you're stubborn, and I know he's more stubborn. His dad even says it. The problem with Raymond is this is a man who on Friday, tomorrow, during the roast segment,
right.
will probably take on a whole group of people or an organization, maybe Apple, whoever
it
is.
He's scared of nobody.
No one.
Nobody.
No one's scared.
He'll go after anybody. Mel Kiper this morning at 9:30.
I want to let you know all of the necessities been ordered.
Okay.
Everything will be ready to go next week.
What size of an order are we going to be sending
I'm going to give
him
a big one first.
Really
maybe
wet
12,
his appetite.
Maybe a 12-canner.
Okay.
Yeah, whole dozen.
Would you like him to get the whipped cream, send you a photo holding the whipped cream?
No.
Why?
I don't think I need a photo.
RJ, wouldn't it be good for social media purposes? Mel gets the whipped cream, maybe, you know, puts some on his head.
No, not on his head.
Maybe holds dueling whipped cream cans, takes a photo, sends it to us social media?
So that would be
a
nice idea. However... I think we have to be all in this year. And let me know what you guys think. I mean, it's your program. I'm just along for the ride.
I don't like the way you say program.
It's program.
That the Jets and Giants have marquee top 10 picks.
Yes.
We need to be all in. No other asks, in my opinion. Round one, Jets or Giants, shout out.
Round one, first 10 picks of the draft. At least one mention.
You should get both.
Well, he's got a chance to do both, though, because you're the Giants fan, I'm the Jets fan.
Right.
Let's do both.
So we go 6 and 10.
So maybe he said...
Dave
and
gets
what
the
time,
Giants.
What time are we on in the morning?
6 to 10.
Wow.
It's like almost like the Taylor Swift stuff with the 13.
Right? It's...
Makes too much sense.
It's perfect.
RJ, you're right. We don't ask anything... He doesn't need to do extra work. Right? I mean, we were supposed to have him on yesterday. He couldn't because TV just had him all filled up
because
he dropped his mock. I'm going to send him the 12 cans.
Yes.
Okay, that gives us the opportunity now where, hey, you know, spur of the moment, hey, can we get Mel on? More than happy to do it.
Right.
And
now we're locked in, good relation with Mel.
Then
yeah.
I feed him another 12. Maybe I go 16 leading into the draft.
Buy him stock in Ready Whip.
No. Well, he should have a Ready Whip endorsement. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's
makes
it's
no
odd.
Sense. To
it's
me.
Very odd.
And then boom, day one.
So how do we? Who do you want to ask this?
You should.
No, why?
Because you're that guy. I think we've established you're that guy.
So whenever the line has to be crossed or you have to come up right to it, I'm the one that should
yeah,
do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, I think we have. We're both.
But I know what'll happen. I'll be like, Mel, listen, here's what we want. You'll be like, oh, that's a big
no.
ask, Mel. You'll play
no.
bad cop.
No, I'm not. I won't be the bad cop in this situation. There's a certain line that I cross all the time, and then this is the line that you have to cross.
I think we wait one or two interviews.
Yes.
We can't do it today.
No.
So we buy ourselves some time.
Yeah.
Like it's
today's like a rekindling.
Yeah, it's the last day of February. We have a little time.
Shouldn't be the last day of February.
Well, we've already gone over this.
I know.
Otherwise, the seasons would be out of control.
I know. I understand that.
It was cold today, too.
Very windy. I walked in. I'm like, it's freezing. Stop being a baby.
Very windy.
Freezing outside.
Well, I wasn't used to seeing you there so early.
So?
Who's this guy?
Yeah. It's freezing outside.
It's Dave.
Very windy.
It's very windy.
On my drive in this morning, there's tree branches all over the road.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I had to stop right in the middle of the road. It's fine, though.
Yeah.
We got here, battling through it.
Well, that's what we do. We're battlers.
Battlers.
From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts. Keep your ride or die alive with all the parts you need at the prices you want. Easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Joe Douglas spoke yesterday and at the meetings and
at the combine. Yep.
Yeah. And Mecole Hardman, we have some more sound to play of him. Did you see the story yesterday? I think you might have sent it to a pretty company. You did. That if this is actually
sounds
true.
Sounds like it's true, yeah.
This is like criminal behavior that Mecole Hardman was feeding the Eagles and the Chiefs, the Jets' game plan heading into those games.
Maybe he should have been doing it all season. The Eagles game was the biggest win of the season,
and Chiefs they had maybe their best like quarter of the entire year.
It was the best game, Zach. That was the lights gone on for Zach Wilson game.
But being serious now, why would you do that?
That's a great question.
Like even if you hate being a member of the Jets, why in the world?
You can't.
Like, that like you're in the mafia. I'm a
made man on the show.
Right. Right. You have a mafia member, you know, handing you money.
Well, I mean, I think I'm in now.
Up in Boston. I mean, you're as close as like a blood brother.
Confirmed,
blood oath.
By the way. That was confirmed.
What?
I made a couple phone calls. Confirmed.
To the restaurant, you found out that
it's confirmed.
Was... Really?
Yeah.
That was Whitey Bulger.
I wasn't really, it was Whitey, but it was confirmed.
Yeah.
So.
All right, good.
I maybe ask to do a favor here at some point.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
So if you get a call like, there's a child in Boston needs hockey goalie training. Yes.
Anything you guys need.
I will be there.
Anything.
I can't believe this could be it. Like that's like subterfuge. Like that would be horrendous.
That's exactly what it is. Now this is something that would stick with you. I mean, this is something that would stick with you for the rest of will stick with him for the rest of his career if it ends up being true. And it sounds like it is true. Like and that's and I wasn't defending Mecole Hardman yesterday. It's just I mean I've been in certain situations on teams where you know you have coaches that aren't always honest with you, don't communicate well. And I understand being frustrated with that, but this is different level.
No, this, I mean, it's not criminal behavior, but it's like NFL's version of criminal behavior. I mean, why would you, even if you're miserable with your team, you would have meetings with the opposition to tell them what the intent is of your team to do on Sunday?
Well, I don't know if it was having meetings, but.
Well, he's letting them yeah. know what's coming.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is a
that's
very.
That's horrendous.
That's a very serious allegation. Very serious. Because that's the, I mean, that's, again, that bond inside that locker room, that trust that you try to build up with your teammates. I understand being pissed off at coaches. That's fine. You have every right to be pissed off at coaches. I think there are a lot of people that look at him not going, you know, not being willing to go, you know, to go into a game and field punts as quitting on his teammates.
Right. I think that's like, that's your line, right? He says he was told things that weren't true and he wasn't going to be used. Now they ask him and he's uncomfortable and he's not going to be able to do it. Like, that's a gray area. Giving the opposition an idea of what your team is going to do is, I can't think of much worse
no,
than
I can't.
In sports.
No. No, I mean, no. I mean, outside of like purposely costing your team a game, which I guess is what you're trying to do anyway by you know, leaking game plans to your opponent.
Yeah, but if that kind of thing is true, how, if you're one of the other teams, could you ever say, you know what, let me bring that guy into the fold here?
Well, I don't think you can.
Well, but they did.
Well, but that's Kansas City, though. They know him already. He's won two Super Bowls with them.
But still.
Well, I understand.
And then he's like a spy.
I know, but on top of that, too, is, I mean, some of the other stuff that he said, and I don't even think he realized when he said it, but mentioning the GM's name that during the season he's reaching out to Kansas City's GM to come get me? The Jets going to end up getting something for this.
Yeah, but then what are they going to get?
They're going to get some kind of draft compensation.
They get a seventh round.
No, whatever. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So they'll get something for it. I couldn't imagine being, as much as I would hate a coach, and there are plenty of coaches that I did not like, ever doing something like that that could negatively affect my guys.
Serious. Like, as far as like within the realm of the game.
That's just bad team. That's bad teammate stuff.
I can't think of much worse than that.
That's bad teammate stuff. Like, I could, like, you know me as a person by now. Like, my leg could be hanging off. You ask me to do something, even if I, you know, if I hate the coach or whatever, I'm going to do it just because I don't want to let my teammates down.
Right.
So that's the kind of guy I am. But I could understand there are certain people, I mean, different strokes for different folks. If you don't get told on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or haven't even practiced it, that, no, you're gonna return punts. And on Sunday, they come to you and say, hey, you're going to return punts. I can understand feeling away about that.
Right.
And saying, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable because I think I could.
That's different.
That's different.
That's like that gray area of, you know what, I could see either way.
You can't excuse this.
No. By the way, I'm very sad today.
Why?
Richard Lewis passing away. Well, one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah, and he's great on Curb.
Oh, he's great on Curb. He was, great stand-up. This is sad. Very, very sad.
Well, it's happened a lot.
I know. Well, this is the circle of life, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
But it doesn't make it any easier.
No, never.
RJ will probably end Stuff You Missed with that at 9:15
today.
Well,
you probably just stole the story.
Probably.
Probably what you just did.
Yeah. He'll do like all the good things around sports, and then at 9:26, he'll be like, oh, and Richard Lewis passed away, 76 years old.
Bring us down for the rest of the show.
Well, but then Mel's at 9:30.
Right, and then the melange.
And then the melange. I texted with Jordan Renan yesterday.
Yeah, so, what did he say?
So what's going on? Has he got anything for us? I don't know why you'd cry over that. And he's in Indy. He said, got some meetings, chats today. He said, tomorrow probably be a good time to have him on
the
show.
Okay, let's have him on.
So,
nice Friday.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring him in.
Make it a football-y Friday. Right? Because we got to do the best we can until we get to September.
That's going
to
be nice. That's all right. We got the combine this week.
Maybe it scratches the itch for you. Not for me.
A little bit.
Not for me.
I'd like to see everyone compete in it, but... I understand.
Yeah, I agree. But you're going to get to see everyone do their thing either here or at their pro day.
I understand so that, but it's nice when you
it
have
is nice these, to
like
have
the
it all
side
under one
by
roof.
Side comparison.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Mecole Hardman. Joe Douglas, he had a lot to say yesterday. We'll hear from the Jets GM, who's clearly on the hot seat. It's DNR on a Thursday after a chef's kiss open on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I got a big meeting today. Dr. Jay Shah. Listen up, friends. Go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your back, neck, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samuel Payne. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise, image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments are available. Go to SamuelPayne.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamuelPayne.com now. Regain your active lifestyle and enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Samuel Payne now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamuelPayne.com. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank the Lord that you're on the other side of the glass sometimes. And this would be one of those times.
That's a good story.
Why? What'd I miss now?
I can't even get into the retelling of it, but it's good. See, here's the issue.
Coming from the guy who wants nuggets, I give you 2 gorgeous nuggets.
No. You give me, I can eat like 3 nuggets, and you're like, take all the nuggets. And I'm like, no, but I don't want more nuggets.
But that's not even.
Take this nugget.
Those aren't even my best nuggets.
It's too much. You gave me a 40-piece. I can't eat a 40-piece.
I gave you just
It was too much. Like, the first part of the story, like, oh, you know what? Great story. Really good story. Nice piece of information. Good to have. And then you're like, yeah, back in college, that happened, and then you went with one further piece, and it was too much.
Yeah, but RJ led me to that nugget. Blame him.
No. Oh.
I was good with the one nugget.
RJ, too much.
The first nugget.
Great, I agree.
Yeah, very revealing for someone we all know.
The second nugget had nothing to do with anyone we know. However, very graphic. Very detailed.
Very graphic. Like, if you were watching a porno and that kind of thing happened, you'd be like, ooh.
Good Thursday morning.
Ooh.
Might need new shoes.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Ooh. Pulp can fly, baby.
Oh, beat it.
In the great George Costanza verbiage.
Yeah. Well, I thought sharing is caring.
See, what he doesn't realize, Raymond, there is a level of too much sharing.
Sounds like that's just the right amount of sharing when it comes to Rick.
So you sending me a picture of Ben's baseball exit velo, I can't share another exit velo story with you? Was that Raymond?
I don't see that as one and the same.
What do you mean?
I'm gonna
sharing.
I'm gonna plead ignorant here. Right. I don't see that as apples to apples.
Well, I shared maybe too much.
I think you've said enough.
Yeah, we should probably get back to the Jets. Here's Mecole Hardman on the pivot. I forgot that the pivot was the Ryan Clark vehicle. So here he is discussing the Jets and their, I guess, for lack of a better word, futility.
You just got a new coach staff that came in. It's no standard there. It's like everybody do what they want to do. And defense have a more of a stabilized standard with that, with the coaching staff on that side. So you could tell the defense got a standard, but the offense is just like, all right, we've just figured it out. It's Aaron's show. Mm-hmm. Let Aaron do what Aaron do, you know what I mean? But then when Aaron go down, it's like, we don't know what to do. Y'all can't tell me about winning. I know what winning looks like.
Right.
I know what winning is. So y'all keep telling me certain things. It's like, I'm not going for that because y'all not doing it right. Like, we got hammers on the ground. We don't got no discipline. People feel like it's too many individual egos in this locker room or whatever, and I'm telling them, like, that's not gonna get y'all to win. It's not gonna happen.
All right, so a couple things. Firstly, he sounds unlikable in this. He does. I mean, you know what?
There's a lot to say.
It went very poorly. You won the Super Bowl. You caught the game-winning touchdown. But let it go.
But I think that's his point, though. I think that's his point. When asked the question about, like, hey, what went wrong in New York, I think his assumption going in was Aaron Rodgers was going to obviously be his quarterback. And he said yesterday, we talked about it, we played the clip, Aaron Rodgers is a freaking savant. Right? Like, I mean, he's telling guys, hey, you know, you get back, you ain't coming. Like, he sees the game different. I think part of what he thought coming in was, I've won two Super Bowls. Not only can I play, but that's another great reason to bring me in. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. There's a lot of guys in this locker room that haven't been there, done that.
Maybe listen to me more than the other guys because I have the
skins on the wall, right? So I can explain to you what it's supposed to look like.
I get that, and I think that's a misstep by the Jets, but my point is, why does he need to do this now? How does he make himself...
Well, because he clearly feels a way about it.
So he didn't, like, go to the Jets, it didn't work out, he moves on, and now he can just be happy with the one he's with. He has to now try to bring down the Jets because there's sour grapes here.
Right. Well, I mean, it sounds like with most of the coaching staff. So, I mean, just think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. You come here, and, you know, you weren't treated the way you thought you should have been treated. You leave for, you know, the station you're already at.
Right.
And then you all of a sudden...
But I can't go back to the station I was at and just be like, ooh, good to be back here.
No.
I have to start publicly taking shots.
You don't have to. But if that's something you still feel, I mean, as he clearly still feels a way about it, what better chance to do it? You just won the Super Bowl and you made the game-winning catch.
I still think it's a very good look for him. I don't think it's a good look for anybody because I think the Jets look foolish. You hear this guy and you're like, God, this is a guy that knows how to win, has been involved in winning three Super Bowls now, who thinks the Jets are a joke. So it doesn't make the Jets look good. I don't think he looks good either.
No, I don't think so either. But, I mean, you also have to understand what he's saying. It makes a lot of sense as to why they don't win and why they haven't won.
I think we know why they don't win.
You know, I know.
For the most part, they are dysfunctional.
Right. And the fact that one side of the ball has the standard and you watch them play and it's clear that they do have a standard because they play really well. And then the offensive side of the ball has been a complete train wreck. And you get it. Like, it's the little things, man. We talk about this all the time. And I say to you, it's like every coach I've ever had says always, you know, focus on the little things. I'm sure Ben's coach tells him that. I'm sure Alex's lacrosse coach tells him that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at the time, you're like, come on, man, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because all those little things,
add
them up. Yeah.
Those are big things.
It's attention to detail. Like, he even brought up, like, Andy Reid. If Andy Reid tells you no one's wearing yellow cleats in practice, it doesn't matter who it is. If Patrick Mahomes comes with yellow cleats, you're going to go back in the locker room.
That's right.
And you're going to wear whatever color
cleats. That's
right.
Because there's a respect factor that you have for your coaches and your teammates, and clearly there's something missing with the Jets.
Which makes it easier when you're Andy Reid, right? Like, you have that kind of gravitas when you're Andy Reid.
Sure.
And you also have players that buy into it and can be coached that way. Jets got to figure this out. The only way they figure it out, and I know you agree with this, is if Aaron Rodgers plays.
Aaron's got to be great, and they have to have a hell of an offseason.
Great offseason.
I mean, there's the most
pressure on Joe Douglas right now.
Tons of pressure on him. Tons of pressure. And you know what's weird about Joe Douglas? We'll hear from him in a second. He spoke yesterday. Is there's moves he's made, you're like, wow.
Great moves.
And there's moves he made, you're like, oh, I mean, You know, people are like, you got to fix the offensive line. You spent huge money on Laken Tomlinson. Isn't that the old adage, too? Like, well, the draft is a crapshoot, but free agency, you know what you're getting. They spent huge money on Laken Tomlinson.
No one expected Laken Tomlinson to be this bad, though.
I'm sorry.
I know, but no one did.
That's Joe Douglas. I mean, Joe Douglas needs to know, right? I mean, you bring in Nate Solder. He stinks. That's on the Giants. You bring in Laken Tomlinson. He stinks. That's on the Jets. He's a bad football player. Mekhi Becton was risky, bad. I mean, you've had opportunities to remedy the offensive line. You just haven't done it for years. And that's what his thing is. He comes in here years ago. What's the one thing he's going to fix? He's an offensive line guy. He's going to fix it. He can't. He hasn't yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. Giants haven't either.
No.
I mean, they're trying. And now listen.
It's pretty amazing that these teams could spend such draft and free agent capital and still not be able to fix the offensive line.
In fairness to him, though, I mean, when Mekhi Becton first burst onto the scene with the Jets and was healthy.
It was like an 8-game stretch. You're like, wow, that they got him. Where'd they get him?
11.
Like 11. He's the best of the four.
He was awesome.
And now he's probably the worst of the four.
Right. Well, because, I mean, all those things that you hear about someone during the draft process, like the red flags end up popping up.
Here is Joe Douglas. You'd like to hear from Joe Douglas, right?
Yeah.
Here he is yesterday at the Combine reacting to Mecole Hardman's comments.
Not to get into any specifics on what Mecole said. I'll just say, look, we're excited to sign Mecole. He's excited to obviously join our team in a situation. Really, Xavier Gibson really came on for us this year, and he did an outstanding job for us. So ultimately, we made a decision to move on from Mecole. But our process of adding Mecole, he was excited to be here, and it just didn't work out. And a lot of that has to do with Xavier.
Tell me if you disagree with this. I would be a little more forceful if I was Joe Douglas. I mean, this guy just trashed your organization, just said he was, you know, the reports come out that he's giving game plans to the other team. He had nothing nice to say about your coaches or anybody. I'm Joe Douglas. I'm not like, well, it just didn't work out. I'm going to be a little more aggressive in what I say.
Yeah, but what's to be gained?
Nothing.
No, right.
Nothing.
So you end up being the bigger man, right? And just kind of whatever. It was what it was. Didn't work out. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, the problem is that a lot of the moves they made this offseason didn't work out.
What did?
And I guess, I mean, from what I've been told, too, I mean, I don't know if Mecole Hardman came in with the right attitude either.
I can't. And you know what? Again, this is on me. We sat down with him at training camp.
It was great.
I bought into everything he was saying.
But again, what do I tell you all the time? There are certain guys that handle the media really well that aren't really great teammates.
But here's the thing. I hear him there, and I think he sounds foolish. Ridiculous. I heard him with us, and I was like, wow, I bought in.
Well, he was excited, right? New team. Gets to play with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Team that could win a Super Bowl. He's already won a couple. I think the problem with him is he stepped into a locker room where he thought he was going to, would have this certain cachet because he was a Super Bowl champion and wasn't treated like that. Like, hey, we're going to need to do some stuff.
Right.
And he's like, no, me? Do that stuff? Come on.
So that's a problem.
Yeah, of course it's a problem.
By the way, I got an alert on my phone yesterday. The Jets are allowing Zach Wilson to explore a trade. This is breaking news.
Breaking news. And we need a backup quarterback, if you're wondering.
How is anything about this breaking? Just quietly get rid of Zach Wilson. Get rid of him.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, this is why RJ gave me the fan tunnel. I didn't take it.
Disgusting.
It's bad.
You know what, RJ? The fact that you offered him a fan tunnel to get out of being a Jets fan... It's borderline criminal from you.
I think it's still available.
No. No. I will block him from ever going near the fan tunnel.
No. This is one of those tunnels like in Mario where the flower that eats you comes popping up. The plant.
You can't quit on your team. RJ, would you like a fan tunnel to leave your Niners? Or your safety stink? You want out?
They do stink.
All right.
They're really bad.
Well, you're locked in. If you walked in one day in the next few weeks and said, you know what, all right, I moved on. I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan. I'd be like, no, you're not.
Canucks are pretty good.
The Canucks are good, but no, I wouldn't allow that.
But look what Rick's signing up for day after day. Canucks.
But he signed up for it. So if you marry and she becomes unwell, do you just jump ship or are you?
This is not becoming unwell. She's out there, to use your phrase, just floozying it up all over the place.
I've never used the phrase floozying.
But it's actively happening. It's present day. There are players who this season gave away the playbook. They gave it to the other team.
So maybe he should have made better decisions originally.
I feel like you're victim shaming.
I'm not victim shaming at all. You want out?
I nursed her back to health. And then once she got healthy, floozy.
The owner was asked, what do you think about the backup quarterback situation? He goes, I don't know. We didn't have one.
I'm not saying it's clicking, RJ.
It's not going well.
Don't get me wrong. My point is, he can't up and leave.
He's in an abusive relationship.
No, he cannot. I won't allow it. I will physically stand in the way of you going into the tunnel and say, sorry, the tunnel is closed.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Go back home.
He has permission to do it.
No.
Your wife is cheating on you daily. You know what you're going to do? Go back there and take it.
No, you know what? Go fix the marriage.
You're going to continue to let the wife make a fool of you.
No, go fix the marriage. You're in this for the long haul. Sickness, health, well, cheating, scandal, whatever.
How do you fix that?
What?
The floozy part. I can't fix that.
Figure it out.
The Amazon guy's there every day.
Can't fix floozy.
Nope.
That's a jet right now.
You guys are gross.
They're gross, not me. I didn't take the tunnel.
Well, you didn't take the tunnel. I would lose so much respect for you.
He wants me to Andy Dufresne right out of this thing.
Yeah.
They gave away the place.
500 yards through a river.
RJ, it doesn't matter what happens. He's a Jets fan. Through thick and thin, he's a Jets fan. He's been a Jets fan for more than 20 years now.
When does the thin come?
What?
Seems like there's a lot of thick.
Well, there's been a lot of thick.
And this is what being a fan is. You're a Cleveland...
Your player's giving away the place.
So if he's a fan of the Cleveland Browns for all these years, they've never been to a Super Bowl, they absolutely stink. Is there a fan tunnel for the Cleveland Browns fans or the Lions fans? At some point, it's going to turn around.
Cleveland made the playoffs.
This year.
Yeah, but I made it 13 seasons.
I understand.
And here's the tough part about Dave's analogy. How long did the Lions go in between playoff victories?
Forever.
So you're only halfway there. It was 30 years. So you're at 14. You got 16 to go. Sorry,
get busy living, Rick.
Sorry.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
A lot going on.
There's never a dull moment.
No. Roast is back tomorrow.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, and you have 2 weeks to have built up this roast. Do you have a roast ready to go?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
I'm weeding through the roast.
Do you think RJ revisits the bean roast?
No. RJ's roast was awesome last week.
What was it? Oh, he went after Big Dom?
Sirianni.
Yeah, Sirianni, Big Dom, the whole thing. Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what, though. My roast was going to be that guy trying to fight at Pepe's. It was a real jackwagon.
Why did you try to fight someone?
Well, dude, we have 10 people. No one had eaten anything because the whole plan on the trip home from Boston was we're going to stop at New Haven. We're going to get pizza.
Right.
We're going to go to Sally's.
New Haven is a big pizza town.
It's great.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Sally's. Sally's is too crowded. We're going to go to Pepe's. Pepe's is too crowded. We'll go to Modern. Well, Modern didn't open until 3, so that's out. Now, Sally's was an hour and 45-minute wait.
Wow.
Pepe's, hour and a half wait.
Wow.
I'm like, there's no, we can't do this.
I don't think any food is worth waiting an hour.
Well,
and
there's
half.
Some.
I would say no, but go ahead.
Okay. So we're like, no, we got to gas this. So now this is starving. Everyone, you can taste the pizza. You're so hungry. We'll go to Pepe's in Fairfield. Never been. All we see it as I drive by. Let's stop. Stop. Somehow managed to get 10 right in. Boom. Got a little crazy with the ordering. I'm not going to lie. I was hungry. So I ordered two or three cheese pizzas, a couple sauces, like, big order.
All right.
Guy behind me makes a point. Before I take my first bite of the pizza, oh, hey, you guys order one of every pizza on the menu?
This almost, is another patron?
Yeah. Almost punched him right in the face.
Well, what was the rationale behind doing that?
I thought he was funny.
Oh.
Like, oh, look how much you guys ordered. You shut your mouth, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't know whose side I am on this. Like, I have to hear the commentary.
That was the commentary. It was like, yeah,
but I have to hear, like, was it nasty and mean?
Say
or was it was
why?
Maybe he's
enjoy
a,
your pizza.
Maybe he's a guy that likes to make side comments.
No, should shut his mouth, and then of course, because now I'm furious
at him.
Yeah.
So you couldn't block that out. And
no,
just say, I have beautiful pizza in front of me.
I hadn't taken a bite of pizza yet,
uh-huh.
And like an idiot, so I blame myself. I go right for the cheese, scalding hot cheese. Right to the roof of the mouth.
And now it's days
done.
Of injured.
Still done.
Days.
Done.
Still?
Still.
From last weekend?
Done. Done.
Really? You had the dangling skin from the roof?
That's gone. Now I got nothing up there. It's like Fire Marshal Bill's face.
Is there a medicine? You can't put like a bacitracin internally like that.
No,
I know. But there must be an oral medicine.
No, I think the mouth just heals.
No, of course it heals. But there's got to be, you know what you should be doing?
Gargling salt.
Baking soda. Peroxide.
A skill.
Warm water.
You think?
Little swishing around. Mm-hmm.
Can you ask Catalina if he's got some of that?
I don't think he's going to have baking
soda. Hello,
Martin.
All right.
But warm water.
It's a good idea.
Absolutely it is. I'm full of good ideas.
You
Let's
really
go to
are.
Mike in Seaford. Hi, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Huge fan. So I have a story that I'm still upset about that kind of happened like 2-3 years ago.
All right.
I'm in my 30s. That was never really into football. Got into it in middle school, high school, because good friends of mine were Jet fans. So we've been miserable together ever since. And 2-3 years ago, the guy that really got me into it moved down to Miami, and now he's a huge Dolphins fan. So I have to watch his Instagram stories and all that stuff, sitting here being super miserable, and this guy is just pretending that he's on
awful.
Top of the world.
Have you severed the relationship with him, or are you guys still friendly?
Still friendly. It's just my wife makes fun of me every time she sees me looking at my phone or during football season. It's just like, how are you still not over this? It's someone that I became.
I don't blame you at all.
It's
I mean, we lived in Raleigh for 5 years. Could you imagine if I became a Carolina Panthers fan?
No.
I mean, what's
no. You couldn't do it.
But there's people all over the place that are doing this.
I think fandoms changed a little bit, a lot probably.
Okay. I don't like it, but if you're like a fan of a player, not of a team, but like a player and you bounce around, I don't understand that, but I can get on board with that because that's what you do.
I think a lot of it is how you were brought up. Like my dad didn't have a team. He wasn't like a huge sports fan.
Which is fine.
But I never had a team though. I didn't have any guidance.
Which is fine. But once you choose a team, you're now locked in on the team.
Yeah.
But if you never choose a team and you bounce, you play. I love Kobe. So when Kobe was at the Lakers, or I love Kevin Durant. So he's here to here, and I root for those teams. But it's not the same.
Yeah, but it really is. I mean, it's kind of crazy though. It's really a real dysfunctional relationship though. You just can't get out.
But
how many times recently, outside of your little fun little playoff run you had, have you watched a Giants game or I've watched a Jets game and been like, there's nothing enjoyable about watching this right now.
Yeah, but I think that's what being a fan is.
That's a relationship that you usually get out of and go to one that actually gives you happiness.
Yeah, but I think part of being a fan is that you go through a lot of crap to get to where you want to get to eventually. I am telling you, the Rangers fan in me can tell you this, that when, and it will happen, when the Jets eventually win, it's going to be better for you than it is for RJ or Ray, or when the Jets win, it's going to be the equivalent to a Lions fan or a Browns fan.
I think it's going to be pretty good for RJ when he wins.
Not the same as you?
I think not the same as me, but it's going to be pretty good. Especially with how close that they've been. You saw him. I never seen him like that.
He was so upset.
It was days.
It might be why he wound up getting sick.
It was days.
His body was worn down.
Yeah.
An accepted infection.
Ugh. Asked for it. Wanted it.
Poor RJ.
Give me the infection.
Poor RJ. Let's go to Mike Bay Ridge. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Shout out to the companies. This is interesting, this conversation about being fans and sticking to your team or not sticking to your team. I have something also. I've been a Giants fan my whole life.
Okay. Since you're how old?
Since I'm a little kid. My father was like, he was like a New York fan. So he was like Giants, Jets. I wasn't raised like a diehard fan of every team in each league. It was a little fair weather.
All right, but you're a Giants fan from the time you're a little kid, right?
Absolutely.
And you're a big Giants fan?
I am a Giants fan since I'm a little kid, but I do not pride myself on being as fanatical as a lot of friends in my life.
Right.
I am a Giant fan, though. But when it comes to the Knicks and Mets and Yankees, like, I'm a little bit fair weather with that, just being honest. But I am a Giant fan, so I understand the concept of being loyal and watching them. I watch them every Sunday I can, even when they're not doing well, and I get frustrated, the whole thing, as usual. But, yeah, so this is the conundrum that I'm in, and I want your take on it.
I gotta be honest, unless you completely shock me here, I don't think you have much of a conundrum, but go ahead.
Well, I have been organically, over the past, I don't know, 5-10 years, been slowly enjoying and liking the Bills. I've been a bit of a fan of the Bills, and I don't apologize for that. I mean, it's funny because they're the only team.
All right, Mike. Here's the question: Giants played the Bills this past season. Tight game.
Very interesting.
Down to the final play. Where were you?
Very interesting.
Who are you rooting for?
Okay, so, well, I gotta throw a little hiccup
you
in
can
that.
Say, answer, Mike, you can answer, say you answer, answer, answer.
No, here's question. The problem. I don't have an answer. You're gonna hate me for this. I don't remember that moment. I'm being honest.
Mike, this is awful.
I know. Okay, so I could make believe I'm in that situation because I can't answer you from this past season.
Well, who are you rooting for this past season?
Right now,
no. Who were you rooting for when they played this season?
I didn't watch that game. I'm telling you.
Honestly, you're really just not a fan of anything.
That's even worse to say you didn't watch the game. It's even worse.
He's just not even a fan.
You know what happened though? I'll tell you what happened. He grew up with a dad who didn't really have a team. He was kind of just whatever struck his fancy.
He was a Giants fan since he was a little kid.
But he sees what his dad did. This was
better.
This is like you saw your dad kind of gallivanting on your mom a little bit.
So you think it's okay to gallivant?
Yeah, it was gallivanting.
You go the other way. Now you never gallivant.
Yeah, but
now, now you're the guy who
always say that though.
I'm not gonna
be my parents. And then you'll do something like, oh God, reminds me a lot of what my dad, right back to where his dad was.
No,
likes the New York teams, Buffalo, New York.
Here, you can be like, oh, you know what? I appreciate the Bills, and when they're playing whoever they're like, I hope they do well. But you can't jump ship like that.
No, this is how it starts, though. He started with a little emotional relationship. Now he's full blown. He was rooting for the Bills.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, he claims he wasn't even watching the game.
Come on,
he's
it's two of his favorite teams. He's not watching the game.
Let's be honest. That's not a great human being.
Stop.
What do you mean?
No, I mean you could criticize his fandom.
No,
we don't know what kind of human being he is.
I know that if he has the tendency when it comes to fandom, what else does he do? He's got side pieces all over the place. I'm sure. Probably got children with numerous different ladies.
Who were you with last night? Well, I don't remember. Okay.
Yeah. it's the first sign. If the fandom wavers, God knows what you are in other situations. And that's why you're such a good husband and father, because you're locked in on the
locked
Jets.
Locked right in. Doesn't matter what they do to me. Stand by them.
That's what a good fan does.
For good times and bad times.
Dionne Warwick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be by their side forevermore.
Yeah.
That's what friends are for. I love you so much.
All right, let's take a break. 1-800-919-3776. Also, RJ has some observations in DHIF, and we have an update on one OG Anunoby we'll get to in a little bit as well. It's DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, hi. Dave Rothenberg here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower. Wonderful job. Customized just like we wanted. Only one expert installer. Process was just so easy. There's no demo. There's no mess. And Bathfitter is a high quality, permanent solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife. And for a limited time, you get 0% interest or you can save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So here's what you do. You start designing your bath today like we did at bathfitterdesign.com because there's only one Bath Fitter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ian Begley on the putback. When could OG be back for the Knicks?
Mid-March. I think that's kind of seen internally as a realistic possibility. If he continues to go well here and clear the hurdles that he's got to clear in his rehab from that elbow surgery, I think you're looking at mid-March. If in a perfect world it all goes well, he can come back on the court. So that would be huge, obviously, for New York because they were rolling with healthy Ananobi, 14-2 in that month of January.
All right, so mid-March, we're looking at another 2 full weeks before you have the potential of him returning to the Knicks.
This is why I love the show, and this is why I love you.
Why?
And why you're so great at what you do. Could be a psycho, but still savant. I have this awesome OG stat that I took down the other day.
Okay.
So, in the Knicks...
Well, how did I do anything, though?
Well, just by setting me up with the OG stuff.
All right.
I didn't come into the show today expecting that we'd have that this would be on the... docket, but I just said I'll take a picture of the stat so when we do bring it up,
right?
And you just so seamlessly brought us into it. In the Knicks' final 13 games before they traded for OG in December, they allowed 124.7 points per 100 possessions, was the worst defensive rating in the NBA.
Okay.
In the final 13 games.
Right.
In the 14 games OG played for the Knicks in January, they allowed 104.1 points per 100 possessions, the best defensive rating in the NBA.
So they reduced it by 20? Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
In the 11 games they played without OG in February, the Knicks are allowing 120.5 points per 100 possessions.
He is now.
Which is the worst.
Correct, but you've played without Hartenstein a bunch, and like there have been other guys that have been hurt, right? Brunson's missed some time.
Right, but I'm not even, like that. Forget that last number then.
13 right.
Before.
To go from where you were
the worst,
to where
to the best.
You got to is an unbelievable jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is an elite defensive player. Why do you think Tibbs was so desperate to get him?
And on top of that, what he was able to do when you were healthy for the offensive side of the ball, too. Because you saw an immediate impact there, too.
He's a terrific fit for this team. But, you know, we remember it was one night, they're playing back-to-back games. Like, he'll be back tomorrow.
I had no idea.
And now he's been out for quite an extended period of time.
They said inflammation. They never said that he had a bone spur in it.
Right. So, had to have surgery. Best case scenario, you're looking at another 2 weeks. So, this is, I mean, it's extended period of time.
At least the Knicks told him that he had a bone spur in there.
What?
Just told me I didn't break my elbow.
Well, they probably didn't know.
Oh, dude, you should have seen the size of this thing. Like, oh, you're fine. It's a bruise. Turns out it was broken.
So they had you play with a broken elbow?
Yeah. Well, look at it now. Look at my arms. This is the left one. This is
right.
The broken one.
Right.
This is the one that wasn't broken.
Okay.
This is as far as I can extend them.
You can't bend it past?
Watch.
Oh, that's not good.
That's as far as it. I'm pushing on it.
That's not good.
That's not great.
No, you cannot extend it all the way out.
No, that's as far as it goes.
Huh?
It's like a wing.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not good.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
No, there's nothing.
It's a real problem.
Sharing.
So, yeah. So, I want to get to the point where these players start to come back.
Oh, he'll be back.
I know he'll be back.
I'm more concerned about Randall.
Because Randall may not come back.
Oh, no, I think he's going to come back. Just
You don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
You don't go through what he's going through not to come back and at least try it.
I think the intent is to come back.
Well, I think he's going to at least come back and try it. You got to try it. If you're going to go through all this rehab.
But he comes back, he tries, he plays poorly, then shuts it down. No, he's going to come back and he's going to gut it out until he's re-injured.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So it's either, because I think what you said the other day is true too, is that in the back of his mind, he also has to be thinking, I'm not going to get any credit for coming back injured. If I come back and play poorly, I'm going to get killed. So if he comes back and feels like this thing's not right, I can't play like this, I'm not helping my team, there's also the chance that he just says, let's shut this thing down and get surgery.
That's right. I mean, already with a decent amount of the fan base, although I think it's gotten better over the last year or two, with a decent amount of the fan base, they don't love Julius Randle.
No, and I even think the ones that have come around to him a little bit are still hesitant to do that.
Would
still pounce on.
Now, be honest. For whatever reasons, rationale, Julius Randle has not performed well in the postseason with the Knicks, right?
Yeah, first year no help.
I know, and there's absolute reasons, but you can't deny. I make a statement, he has not performed well. You can't say, yes, he has. The answer is he has not.
No. Yeah.
So can you afford, in the court of public opinion, to come back again and not play well in the postseason?
Can he? Yeah, he can if he feels like he's going to be able to deal with it. Like, I'm of the mindset, it wouldn't faze me to the point where I would not try at least
sure.
to come back.
Because he clearly is trying. He wants to come back.
I'm doing it for my teammates.
Right.
So, like, in my mind, I was always like, well, me at 75% is better than not having me at all. So I'll gut through it. I'll try to be, whatever I can do. But, I mean, there's from my own personal experience, people don't care if you're playing hurt. They don't. They'll judge you on the result.
That's right.
If you play and you're battling through injury and you play like crap.
And you know what? See, that's a slippery slope that you're walking up to. Because if you come back and you play poorly in the postseason, so now it's and I get it. I understand there's a reason and a rationale for each one, right? He was a one man against an entire team against Atlanta. He was banked up last year with the ankle, and this year it's going to be the shoulder. But nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear the excuses.
Your teammates do. Coaching staff does. Organization does.
I'm not saying that even the smart fan, reporters, teammates, organization, they don't look at me like, this guy should not be playing and he's out there and he's gutting through it. I get it. But a big picture, people will say it's another year of Julius Randle in the postseason where he didn't accomplish what we needed him to accomplish.
That's fair. I mean, that's what the people that aren't Julius Randle fans will lean on.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I mean, it's still silly, but I mean, this is a results-oriented business. People want to see, especially with how good this team was playing.
Brunson's got to be back tonight, right?
I hope so. I mean, he was questionable last time I saw him.
If he
Hartenstein is playing.
Is playing.
He was off the injury report. I think, Santi, Brunson's still questionable, right, with the next spasms?
As of now, yeah.
If he doesn't play, it's like you're just going to sit there and you're going to watch the game and you know they're going to lose. If he plays, you have juice going into this game tonight.
Yeah, you'll have juice for sure.
Only if he plays. If Brunson doesn't play, you'll turn it on, you'll put your feet up, and you'll say, we're going to lose, but I'll watch the game because
I like
the Knicks.
They'll play hard. They'll hopefully keep it close, but then when push comes to shove, they just won't have enough.
Right.
That's what happened against the Pelicans.
Right, and at the end of the day, it wasn't all that competitive because you just don't have the guys to...
You don't have the horses.
...to compete.
No.
Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. Hey, Dave, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, I want to just touch on something you had... mentioned a little earlier about being a fan. I grew up, 53 years old. I grew up a Knicks fan. And in 2012, when I moved to Brooklyn at the age of 42, I switched. I completely went from being a Knicks fan to a Nets fan.
How?
I'll tell you how. Let me explain. So quickly, when the Knicks, around that time, before I moved to Brooklyn in 2012, there was the Anunsika Brown-Sanders situation, which I thought was terrible, and just the way that they portrayed it and handled it was awful. And then when they signed Carmelo to a long-term deal, I just threw my hands up in the air after signing so many over-the-hill free agents. It was disgusting. And you know what? The whole James Dolan thing just put me over the edge. My time and my money.
Dave, I get it. I understand you don't like James Dolan. Do you know how many teams you wouldn't be able to root for if you didn't like the owner? How many of these owners you'd be like, I mean, you think Raymond likes Jerry Jones? I'm sure he doesn't care for Jerry Jones. I mean, it's part of the business. I mean, the Chargers ownership has been a disaster for years. I mean, the Mark Davis.
The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs got an F- from his players.
Right. I mean, Mark Davis looks incompetent.
Well, I think here's the thing, though. I think that, yeah, I mean, the way you approach your fandom is different than some people. I think some people look at it as like, hey, it's a relationship, and if I don't feel like I'm getting what I want out of the relationship, then I'll root for someone else.
Yeah, I'm married in sickness and in health, yeah. And others did not.
Yeah, you're fully committed.
That's right. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get back into the Jets conversation. We got stuff you missed, and of course, at 9:30, we got Mel Kiper Jr. So big 9 o'clock hour. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. And now, a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn that's completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com, your dream lawn, just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
He is the man. He is the myth. He is the legend. He is a man that consumes more whipped cream than anybody. He's the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hi, Mel. How are you?
Hey, the dynamic duo from Gotham. It's great to be with you guys.
We absolutely love you. I want you to know that first and foremost. As we hit March, your mock drafts are now, you know, all over ESPN.com. We absolutely adore you, and we're thrilled to do this again. So you and I have a differing view, and of course I have ultimate respect for you, but I would like to see the Giants at quarterback move in a different direction, and you think that they should not do that, right?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, what direction would you move in?
Well, so here's my thing. I am not as smart and studied as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll as far as this is concerned, but if there were a guy that they really liked, I would move heaven and earth to try to get that guy, whoever it happened to be.
So you would move up to get a Drake May, say?
If that's the guy that they deem that is worthy of that, and they love him, and they think you can win big with him, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bit, to give up all, New England would take themselves out of the quarterback situation, which is what they need. So they would have to say, well, we don't like this quarterback that you're going up to get, would have to be the deal. So then they need a quarterback. If they want to give up on Mac Jones and try to build an infrastructure around this quarterback, which they didn't do for Mac, then they could take Drake, or they just say, hey, we're not as high on him as some people are. And that's kind of been the case around the NFL. When I talk, everybody's not sold on everybody. So there's not a consensus on every quarterback. So depending upon the team, we don't know what their rating is. So to your point, if the Giants love May and New England doesn't, then there's a possibility you could do that. But it depends how the Giants feel about him. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going 2 to Washington. Caleb Williams going 1 overall to somebody. But I think in terms of Daniel Jones, I'm high on Daniel and everybody, I guess everybody else. I don't know. I haven't heard many people rave about Daniel Jones. I'm not raving about him, but I think he's a really good quarterback in this league, a solid quarterback in this league, and who is not has been unfairly criticized. And we've kind of forgotten what he did a few years ago when he got hurt, not because of anything he could do. You get injured because your supporting cast was not very good. So, and things just from the start just didn't go the Giants' way. But I'm moving forward with Daniel Jones. He's not 38 years old. He's not at the end of his career. He's not in the middle of his career. He's in the prime of his career. So I don't think these – I'll say this. I don't see what Drake May brings to the table that Daniel Jones doesn't. I really don't. I watch Drake May. I don't know if people out there have studied. Drake May had a rough end of the season. If you watch Drake May play college football against Virginia, NC State, and Clemson, you would say, I don't really think this guy's our guy. So go back and watch those games. If you think he's better than Daniel Jones after those three games, then more power to you.
I think it's the unknown, right, Mel? I mean, I think that's what excites most people about the draft, is they've already seen enough of Daniel Jones, the injuries and everything else. They feel like, okay, it's time for something different. It's time for something new. I want to ask you this because there's reports all over the place. Chicago last year as the first overall pick. They move off of it, had a chance to draft C.J. Stroud. He turns into a stud. This year, you mentioned Caleb Williams could be going to Chicago. What's the sense you get right now? Is Chicago going to stand pat at 1 and take Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields, or is there still some question as to what happens?
That's a split. Nobody really knows. I've talked to a lot of people. Greg Gabriel's a good friend of mine. He used to be a player personnel with the Giants. Has a couple Super Bowl rings. Was out in Chicago. Follows the Bears very closely. He's said from the get-go they're trading the number one pick, and they're keeping Justin Fields. So Greg maintains that. I've differed on that. I can understand why they would. I like Justin Fields a lot, and I think I've said all along, I said it all day yesterday on ESPN, every which way, that if you get bowled over by an offer for somebody for that number one pick, and I like Justin Fields enough to say I get a heck of an offer from somebody, I can get a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Romo Dunze, a Malik Nabers to pair with DJ Moore, or I can get a Brock Bauer or somebody like that, I already have the ninth pick overall. I'm going to recoup that too, which you will definitely do. I'm making that deal, and I'll move forward with Justin Fields. If I don't get that type of offer, then I get a 2 and a 4 for Justin, and I make that trade, and I recoup the 2 that way for the Montez Sweat trade. So, and I think Atlanta would be the team that would make the most sense for Justin Fields, in my opinion. So, you know, I think it just depends on what type of offer they get. I think Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are, you know, Justin's on his way to being a really good quarterback in this league. We certainly expect Caleb Williams to be a potentially great quarterback in this league.
So, Mel, and I know this is people are split on Drake May. I've heard a bunch of different things about him. But say, for example, to Dave's first question, there was a chance to have an offer that was good enough to entice Chicago. Would you be okay with the Giants making that kind of offer to get up and get Caleb Williams?
Caleb's a special quarterback, potentially. I mean, he has that chance to be, you know, I hate the comps to Patrick Mahomes. There was a comp to Aaron Rodgers, Matt Miller had yesterday. Comps are always two great players. They're never the average players. So we're always given the unrealistic expectations with comps. Every first-round pick's comp to a guy that's already been spectacular in the NFL, so that's why I hate those. But in terms of the number one pick overall, it's going to be expensive to go from 6 to 1. Obviously, you have the 2 twos, but to move up that far to get Caleb Williams when you have Daniel Jones, you're going to have to give up a lot. Remember, you have to build around your quarterback. You know, whether it's Daniel Jones or Caleb Williams, Daniel Jones got hurt for a reason. So, again, I don't care who the quarterback is. They got to get better around that quarterback. And one of the key pieces is adding a receiver, making sure that offensive line is solid. So you give up all these draft picks, a rookie quarterback, you know, coming into that situation, good luck. So to me, it depends on how much you have to give up. That also dictates whether Chicago will make that deal. If it's not enough, Chicago to me is, you know, if you say take Caleb Williams and trade. If you're not going to get a lot, you can get a 2 and a 4 for Justin. Make that deal.
He's Mel Kiper Jr., 98.7 ESPN. In 5 years from now, Mel, the one player in this draft that you believe is can't miss would be who?
Can't miss.
Yeah.
Wow. I think the receivers are, I think there's a lot of those guys. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Dunze, or Malik Nabers are going to do anything but be stars in this league. Brock Bowers is going to be an outstanding player in this league. So I would say the receiving guys, or those guys right there, I think there's some safe offensive line picks that you're not going to bust out on, that you have versatility with, that you can move a left tackle over to right tackle. Joe Alt's case, you can do that. But I do think the receivers, I think they're the guys, whether it be Harrison Jr., Odunze, Nabers, and Bowers. I think all four of those guys are going to be outstanding in this league where it's all set up for them. I mean, they're great players, but in the NFL, obviously, you can't rough them up. You get the interference penalties. You get all this. These guys are all guys who can go get the football. So I think the four receiving entities are the guys that can't miss.
So, Mel, what do the Jets do? Because, I mean, they need pretty much an entire offensive line. And you mentioned Brock Bowers. In your latest mock, you have Brock Bowers, who I think is a stud. So I guess I'll pose the question this way. What is the drop-off from 10 to the third round when the Jets pick again for offensive linemen? Can they still get a good offensive lineman and take Brock Bowers with the 10th pick?
You could, yeah. Roger Rosengarten, who had a rough championship game at Washington, I thought he would go back. He's coming out. If he could have gone back and had a big year, he could have been a first-round pick. So if you were going to look at that last game and say, oh, yeah, he struggled. Well, yeah, he had a heck of a career going, and I think he could have been a first-round pick. So Rosengarten from Washington's one. And there will be some others that could drop into that third, fourth-round area. But in terms of the Jets, I tried to get an offensive lineman. I moved J.C. Latham from Alabama up to that fifth spot because he's red hot right now. And I thought with Harbaugh and with Joe Ortiz coming from Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome with the Ravens, what do they love? Alabama players, right? So here's an Alabama right tackle, NFL ready, had a great year, had a great career. People talk about that little hiccup at the end of the game. Hey, it's a great game against Michigan. Harbaugh knows that. So to me, they need a right tackle. That's why I gave Latham to the Chargers instead of dropping him to the Jets. I have Joe Joe Walt going to Tennessee. They could take a receiver. They could take a Nabers Odunze. That would push Alt down. I couldn't do that here. Olu Fashanu from Penn State, it's a mixed opinion. I gave him to the Jets in the first mock. I didn't hear. We'll see how that goes because there's a mixed opinion about him. The Jets like him enough, and I don't know how the Jets' ratings are. I have no idea. You could put Olu Fashanu from Penn State to the Jets at 10. I went with Bowers. I have a higher grade on Bowers than Fashanu. And Bowers, to me, is a guy that could help out Garrett Wilson. He's not a tight end. He's a fullback, H-back, slot, wide, everything. He can do anything you want him to do. So he would be great for Aaron Rodgers, but you don't get the offensive lineman. I get that. But you can find other ways to help that offensive line and just that 10th pick overall.
So J.J. McCarthy is an interesting guy because a lot of people I've heard have said, he was just a product of an offense which was very unsexy and didn't need to be overly aggressive. And I've heard some say he's just not going to be a very good NFL player. But there's a lot of speculation that he's going to move up that draft board. Where do you have him and how good could it be if he has a really good combine?
Well, you just said asked the question about the safest. This is the most difficult player to evaluate in this draft is J.J. McCarthy because you don't see him carrying a team. You don't see him having those wow games like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and even Drake May did a lot in 2022. You don't see that with J.J. You see J.J. being solid, making throws when he had to, running when he had to, as he did in the national title game, being a great leader, being super tough, showing great athleticism, making all the throws. So he has the ability to. They were a run-oriented team. Their offensive line dominated. They had nine offensive linemen on that team that all got playing time. They had the two running backs. They were just a power team. And they did not have a number one true wide receiver. Roman Wilson's a good third round pick for somebody this year. They had no high draft choice at wide receiver. Okay, so they didn't have that. So they were based on the O-line and running the ball. He didn't throw a pass in the season. One pass in the second half against Penn State, it was a penalty. So he had none, really. But you're talking about a top 15 quarterback. So you're basing, he's just turned 21 years of age. Guys, he was 20 up till 21 late January. So to me, there's potential there, but there's the unknown of he's never had to have a game where he just went out and just individually said, "I'm putting the team on my back." He has never been in a position where he had to do that.
Mel, give me one more quarterback you think outside of those top four that surprises some people or comes out of this combine as a hot name.
Well, we're going to have to see whether it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I wouldn't say lukewarm. I think they're both second-rounders. Some are trying to force Nix into the first round. I guess you could see that. He had a great 2 years at Oregon, but it's a great quarterback-friendly system he was in. He had great players around him at the collegiate level, some really good college players. And Franklin, the receiver, is going to be probably a second-round pick. So, to me, he doesn't have the big-time arm, but, he's a tough kid. He's going to have a great interviews. He's 24 years of age, mature kid. He's going to be interesting on second round, not first. Michael Penix Jr. had the four injuries at Indiana at the bad championship game, but can make any throw. I wish he would have been better late, but he missed Odunze. He just had a rough game. He was like a pitcher, just didn't have his best stuff in that national title game. But he did have the four injuries at Indiana. So I think he's a second rounder. I think the underrated guy, if you want a late round guy, is Michael Pratt from Tulane, who doesn't have any skill set at all. No wow traits, but he just won, and he's a little. Everybody's going to say the next Brock Purdy. Good luck trying to find that guy. But if you want a fifth, sixth round pick, it would be Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, formerly Oklahoma, or Michael Pratt.
All right, great stuff as always, Mel. The podcast is First Draft. It's with our buddy Field Yates, and you tape a new episode today. It's not only draft season, Mel. You know what other season it is for us here at 98.7 ESPN?
I don't know.
Whipped cream season. Yeah. Whipped cream season.
It's always whipped cream season, though. That's 365 days a year, guys.
And guess who's going to be getting
a off season for whipped cream?
Guess who's going to be getting a beautiful shipment of whipped cream very soon?
Is that going to be Field Yates?
No, it's not. It's going to be Mel Kiper Jr. is who it's going to be.
I'll share a few with Fielding when I talk to him today. But I appreciate you guys are the best. I talk about you guys all the time. It's amazing. How kind you guys are to the guys here in Baltimore.
Well, you are the best. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you very soon. And we can't wait for the NFL draft as always.
I just hope the Orioles and the Yankees have a heck of a battle this year. How about that, guys?
Good stuff,
be like
Mel.
Days gone by.
We appreciate you. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, man. Take care, buddy.
All right. You hear it? Like, he loves
dressed.
And then we talk about whipped cream, and you can hear.
Oh, it's a different
level.
He's
like, oh.
Get the whipped cream, baby.
Whipped cream.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.